Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Green Egg Radio Hour. This is Ariel Montserrat.
And I'm Sylvie Salou. Okay.
Are you there?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
I heard a click, so I wasn't sure.
No, I'm on.
Our special guest tonight is Dorothy Morrison, author of Utterly Wicked, Lucinda's Web, Everyday Magic, The Craft, and many other books. And she's also a native Texan. These days, she lives in Virginia with her husband, Mark. Dorothy is a third-degree Wiccan high priestess of the Georgian tradition. She also founded the Coven of the Crystal Garden in 1986 and spent many years teaching the craft to students in 8 states and in Australia. Wow, she's well-traveled. Dorothy is currently ensconced in studies of the Raven Mist Circle tradition and enjoys membership in the Coven of the Raven.
Dorothy travels attending and teaching workshops at festivals all over the United States. She won the 2012 Bayou City Conjure Community Award and has her own line of products, which she makes by hand, packages, and sells online. Magical creations for the witch with a discriminating taste, an eye for elegance, and a flair for the dramatic can find all kinds of goodies at www.wickedwitchstudios.com.
Okay. So, welcome, Dorothy. Are you with us yet? Oh, boy.
Oh, no, she's not.
Well,
she's not here.
Yeah. Oh, well. She probably got hung up somewhere. She is an extremely busy lady. So, while we're waiting, Dawn, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Pagan Unity Festival? You know a lot more about that than I do.
Oh, sure. It's held every year in the month of May in Burns, Tennessee. The host is Tish Owens. We had her on as a guest not long back. She also owns the shop Goddess in the Moon in Nashville, Tennessee. And at her festival, you can find all kinds of guests, such as Dorothy and Merv Sellers. Mark Penzack, and many others, good musicians. There's activities for children. Lots of activities for adults, of course. Oberon will be there this year again. And, you know, anyone that wants to know about the festival can check out the Green Egg Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have information up about that. Do you know who else is going to be there this year yet?
I would have to look it up, but I can do that.
Okay. Well, this is almost festival season here coming up, and Sylvie's more familiar with the Pagan Unity Festival, which I haven't been able to make yet, but do plan on going this year. So Green Egg will have a presence there, and Burns, Tennessee is just outside of Nashville.
Yeah, it's held in... oh, my goodness, let me say, it's a national park. I'm going to say Belle Meade, but I don't think that's it. Boy, I'm batting 100 here, aren't I?
Well, you know, we figured we'd have our guest at this point. So while you're looking that up, I will talk about the Starwood Festival, which is held up in Pomeroy, Ohio, kind of in the dead center of Ohio. It's about an hour or so south of Columbus. And it's held at in a place that's pretty large, not as large as where the old Starwood was, but it was a some kind of quarry or mine. I can't remember what kind, but a group bought it and then proceeded to completely refurbish it so that it would be, you know, a place to be, a beautiful nature place to be. And Starwood is going to be held this year from July 9th through July 15th. And I highly recommend, if you can get to it, it's just a wonderful festival. It's just an excellent. It's been going for a long time, too. And they've got all different kinds of people there. And it's all kinds of stuff. And you'll see shamans there and tarot readers and big nose pagans and, you know, that kind of thing. Have you got your information yet?
I do.
Okay.
It's held at Montgomery Bell State Park. I got the Bell part right.
Right.
And this year's guests, of course, there's Oberon, there's Dorothy Morrison, M.R. Sellers, Mark Mandrake, Byron Ballard, Nancy Clark, Christopher Penzack, Sherilyn Kenyon, I believe, and Kristen Madden. And I'm not seeing any others listed.
Well, that's a big chunk of people.
Yeah, and their site seems to be having a little bit of trouble, which I just visited with Tish a couple of days ago, and she said her web wizard just walked off on her and left her with nothing, so she's having a little trouble with her site, and she was sitting there, bless her heart, pulling her hair out, trying to make things work.
Wow. Well, that's bad karma on the website person's part, you know?
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. I'm trying to pull up what she's got, and it's unfortunately not a whole lot. Well, let's see. She's got information about the tickets and cabin space and things like that. Uh-huh.
So how much does it cost?
Let's see here. Well, there's different prices for different things. If you want to go just a day trip only, that price is $30. And if you want to go for multiple days, which is 3 days the festival lasts for, that's $60. For children, one day is $15, and for the multiple, it's $30. Adult tent spaces for 3 nights is $65. For 2 nights, it's $55. For 1 night, it's $45. And for children, 1 night is $45, and 3 nights is $32.50. Let's see.
That's pretty, really affordable, especially for families.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starwood is a lot more, and they don't have a whole lot up on their website yet because they're later in the year. They're in July, so we don't really know who their speakers are going to be yet, but I do know that Oberon will be there. Oberon Zell Ravenheart. And I think it's something like $200. It's a lot more to get in, but it's also almost a week long.
Oh, certainly. Well, for anyone who needs that information, you can contact her at her shop, Goddess in the Moon, at 615-251-9833, and she can tell you exactly what's going on. I would be able to, except for her website problems, and I can't access a lot of her information.
That's a really bad time to do that, too. For the web mistress, or whoever, web wizard. Because this is just, 4 months or so before the festival?
Yes.
It's, May 16th through 19th, I think?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Glad you remembered that.
Yeah. Good to know when it is, yes. and Starwood. One of the things, I went to Starwood last year, and one of the things it stood out in everybody's mind who was there last year. But this group had, they were there last year, which I was not there, but this just this in 2011, but for 2012, I was there. And this is like this group of guys that are interior decorators. And they put up enormous tents. I mean, really, it's like the Great Hall of Versailles or something. I mean, it's just huge, you know, vaulted ceiling tent. I didn't even know those things existed. And they made chandeliers out of old Christmas tree ornaments. And, it had candles everywhere. It was very goth kind of looking. You had the feeling of walking into somebody's palace. And they had every kind of alcoholic beverage you can possibly imagine, some of it home-brewed. And just wonderful people there, just drew some really wonderful people. And but certainly that was well worth the price of admission right there. And that's where I hung out a lot when I wasn't at workshops or something. And I did not get pictures of it. Otherwise, I would put those up on the website. I'm still trying to get some pictures. Hopefully, I can do that before Starwood starts. So, anyway, let's see. And who was it? We had Kenny Klein there. We had Ian, what's his name? Great big huge tall guy. Brother. What a time to have a...
Corrigan.
Thank you. Ian Corrigan. Ian Corrigan, who I think of as just a wonderful scholar. I can't remember who else.
Harvey Wasserman. He comes.
Right, Harvey Wasserman.
Yep.
Yes, one of the original Greenpeace activists. And journalist, actually, he's the journalist who spearheaded the investigation in 2004 of the 2004 election and proved that it was a stolen election in 2004.
Wow.
And he's got a website. I don't know what it is offhand, but Harvey Wasserman, just Google that. You'll find his website. And we've published some of his past articles. And right now, the thing he's working on is, of course, anti-nuclear energy. And so he's busy with that. So I don't know what he'll be talking about this year, but he's always a wonderful speaker. He's always really good. And I don't know, you know, I haven't really been to very many festivals in the last couple of years, so I'm out of the loop. I don't really know what's going on. How about you, Sylvie?
Well, there's festivals everywhere. There's Hawkfest Drum and Dance, which will be held February 21st through the 24th at Summerland Festivals in Bonita Springs, Florida.
Hmm.
And let's see, March 8th through 10th is the Moonlit Grove Wiccanic in the Park, and that's in Spanish Fort, Alabama. The Goddess Festival, the journey continues in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That will be held March 15th through the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Phoenix Fire, March 20th through 24th in Lakeland, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta Pagan Marketplace, March 23rd, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is in Marietta, Georgia. And another one in Georgia, Carrollton, Georgia, Hawkfest Drum and Dance, April 6th through the 9th. And let's see.
Now, I know that Circle Sanctuary also holds one up north, the Pagan Spirit Gathering, and that one's really huge.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a big bonfire there, just like at Starwood. And that will be held June 16th through 23rd. So that's an entire week. So it's a pretty long time. And I'm trying to find out where that is, but it is up north. I think it's near. It's either at or near the sanctuary, Circle Sanctuary. So that's another.
Actually, it's in Illinois. The last couple of years it was in northern Illinois, because before that, after they left Mysteria, they went to Missouri.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so they've been up in about an hour and a half from Chicago. Is this Dorothy?
Yes, I am so sorry.
Oh, we're so glad to see you.
Well, we're glad to see you. We're just glad you can make it. I hope you weren't delayed by any catastrophic emergency or something.
Well, only my own, but that's okay.
Oh. Yep, you know, some days I feel like a rolling catastrophe myself. So,
well, I was looking at a clock here that doesn't have the right time.
Don't feel so bad, because I spent the whole day thinking it was Wednesday till my husband said something to me, okay?
Oh, my God. It's the only clock in the house that never got set when the time change was. And now we're almost ready for the time change again, right?
Oh, gee, I can relate totally.
So I am so sorry, but I'm so glad to hear your little voices.
Well, glad to hear yours too, Dorothy. Well, do you want to start things off, Sylvie?
Why, sure. I'll just ask her the first question, and one thing we all want to know is, who is Dorothy Morrison?
Oh, my God. Dorothy Morrison is an ordinary person. who just happens to
Why
be
do
a
I
witch.
Have a hard time believing that? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, I really am. You see, I'm late, and I'm never late. I looked at the wrong clock. So, yes, I am an ordinary person. I have flaws like everybody else does. I just happen to be a witch, and I happen to throw words at a screen and hope they stick. I think I enjoy being a witch more than anything, though. And I think I've always been one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have, too.
You know, when I was little, I remember, you know, going outside in the backyard, and there was ground ivy, you know, and it's got those little teeny tiny magenta flowers, you know, and I thought, oh, I bet I can mix up a potion with that. You know, I'm 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And
I hear
you. I just didn't know how, but I bet I could. And I had an affinity, much to my mother's dismay, I had an affinity for slimy things.
For what?
Slimy things. You know. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember? I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember this or not, but there used to be a commercial for a detergent called All.
Yeah.
And there was
a kid.
Mm-hmm. That had the overalls with the pocket and the frog jumps out.
Yeah.
Well, my
yeah.
mother was always afraid to really reach down into the clothes hamper because she didn't know what might be squirming around there that I brought home. Yeah.
Well, so apart from your experience when you were a little kid, when did you discover that you were different and a witch?
Well, actually, when I was a little kid, when I was a child, I saw auras. I didn't know what that was. I just thought people were colored on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in Catholic school in the first grade, and I keep coloring outside the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nuns think there's something wrong with my motor skills because I am just determined to do this. And so I hear my parents talking about about taking me to this big city doctor in Houston.
Oh.
And, you know, and kids are smart. And uh-huh. and I thought, oh, my goodness, this has to do with that coloring outside the lines thing. Not everybody realizes that people are colored on the outside. It just hit me. Boom. And so I told my parents that there was nothing wrong with me, that I was just being stubborn, and I would apologize to Sister and we would be done.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 21, and I wind up with a middle ear infection. And after that, when I got over that, I never saw auras again. But, you know, I think it was given to me as a defense mechanism because I didn't know what any of that meant. I just knew that particular color combinations made me nervous, and I stayed away from those people.
Mm. Oh, that's wild. That's
I think after I got to be a certain age, you know, the ancients decided, okay, now you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should have enough life experience to make good decisions. Now, I didn't always make good decisions, but I had enough, I knew better.
At least you knew better. That was important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I don't think that I came to magic. I think magic had a hold on me from the moment I popped out. You know, interestingly enough, I almost wasn't born because my mother was hemorrhaging.
Oh, boy.
And she and Daddy were on vacation, and she was hemorrhaging, and they were in Waco, I think. And so he rushed her to Scott and White Clinic in Temple, Texas, and they took one look at her, and they decided they were going to do a radical hysterectomy.
Oh, my gosh.
And Daddy yanked her out of there and said, I think we'll go home and get a second opinion.
Oh, good for him.
And when they got to our family doctor, they discovered that she was already pregnant with me.
Oh,
wow.
So... You know, I was a magical child from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what a wonderful story. What an interesting way to discover that's what you were, as a witch.
Well, you know, even more interesting, though, I didn't really realize, you know, what I was until I graduated from high school and I moved to Houston. And I worked downtown, and every day going to work and coming home, I passed this house that had a big tarot sign outside.
Hmm.
And so I thought, I think I'll get a tarot reading. Now, my mother had given me a tarot deck for Christmas the year I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't read it, and that made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just wound up on a shelf.
Mm.
So finally I thought, I'm going to call these people and I'm going to make an appointment. Well, I grew up in a really small town. And, you know, now I'm in the big city, and I don't know if these folks are axe murderers or not. And so I think I must have called that number two or three times on several different occasions and hung up. Well, you know, lost my nerve and hung up. So I finally make this appointment, and I drive out there, and I park the car at the curb, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the house and looking at the house, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, now I'm going into their territory. What if they do something ugly to me? You know, how am I going to get loose? So I knock on the door. This gal comes out, and she's not much older than I am. And I'm about 18 then.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, back then, this was in the 70s. So now I'm going to show how old I really am. She, you know, everything was, you know, embroidered chambray shirts and, you know, embroidered jeans and barefoot, you know, and the whole nine yards. And, and so, you know, so she's dressed like I am too. And so she reads my cards, and we wound up being friends. And so she invites me to a party. And I did not realize that this was an after-coven meet party. The only person there who wasn't a witch was me. And so...
You just didn't know it yet.
Exactly. But anyway, I realized that all these people are witches. And, you know, my mama always told me that you can... get out of any bad situation if you just stay cool, calm, and collected, and don't lose your poise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking to people, but I'm kind of inching toward the door. Because all I really know about witches at that point is what the Brothers Grimm have told me.
There's a reason why they're called the Brothers Grimm, right?
Exactly. So anyhow, finally, this couple... holds me in conversation, and I really can't get loose. And I suddenly realize that they're not bad people and that none of these people are bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wound up finding a teacher in the group, and that was and the rest was history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an initiation.
Well, you know, it really was. It was kind of an initiation by fire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, even if I didn't hear the little bit of a Texas accent, I'd know you were from the South because Southerners are always good storytellers.
Oh, thank you.
And if they're not, there's something really dysfunctional going on.
Well,
I've only met about two in my life, and I live here in the South, so.
Well, you know, I was presented with this basic list of questions, and we might not even get to any of those because I'm a talker.
Well,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll just get as far as we get.
Oh, God.
Well, one thing that I'd really like to talk about, Dorothy, is your book, Utterly Wicked. And I've heard so much about it, and I haven't had an opportunity to read it. So I want to ask you this. What inspired you to write Utterly Wicked?
I was pissed off.
Well, first, do you want to tell us what the main theme of the book is. That will make more sense probably to our listeners.
Okay. The subtitle of Utterly Wicked is Hexes, Curses, and Other Unsavory Notions.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about psychic self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the words hex and curse scare people somewhat, and I know people who say, oh, my God, I would never, ever hex or curse anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just awful. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, hexing and cursing is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those people who believe that everything can be handled with sweetness and light,
mm-hmm.
then they need to try to handle it that way. But I can assure them that everything cannot be handled that way.
Yeah.
I totally agree and know that for a fact.
You know, if you found yourself in the car with a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
I am sure that the last thing on your mind would be whether or not he felt comfortable in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would be on your mind is getting the hell out of there and incapacitating him enough so that he could not hurt you or anybody else ever again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the same thing, you know, with hexes and curses. You know, if it scares you or you think you're going to feel guilty if you do that, then you need not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, sometimes people think that they're cursed, that someone has done something to them, but they've done it to themselves. So they need to look, you know, at that angle too. And they also need to, I don't believe in hiding behind magic. If it's something that can be handled face-to-face,
yeah,
or with a phone call, or by calling the police, or by the legal system, then you need to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with
you
there.
You know, I won't do anything to anybody that I wouldn't do to their face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my rule of you know, of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's the same thing with fighting fire with fire. Sometimes when firemen have this fire that's out of control, the only way to contain it is by to see which way the fire is moving and start another fire ahead of it to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that term comes from. It's, you know, so sometimes when people are doing ugly stuff to you, you have to speak to them in terms they understand.
Mm-hmm. I have found that to be true. That's for sure.
Exactly. Ariel and I sometimes talk, and you know, things will come up, and I have this little go-to that I use. I just make a little pop it, and I hang it out in the tree off of a limb. I get a hard southern wind, and I just tell her, I'll just hang them in the tree and let the wind beat the hell out of them.
Well, honey, here's another little thing you can add to that.
Uh-huh.
You melt some peanut butter, and you dip that poppet in it, and roll it in bird seed, and then hang it back out there.
Oh.
Ooh.
So you've got a Prometheus puppet, you know, with the birds picking his eyes out.
Oh, and you're being so good to nature.
But okay, yeah. Let me ask you both this. What do you tell the neighbors when they ask you why you've got this thing swinging from your tree?
Well, you know, the last time I used that particular little spell,
mm-hmm.
I lived in Maine, and so they thought that was really cool that
okay.
I was feeding the birds, you know, seeds and peanut butter because that was good for them in the winter.
And there you go. There's your cover. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
brilliant.
You know, you can buy, too, a suet cake and add some bird seed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make a cake out of peanut butter. You you put it in a mold. You add the bird, you know, add the bird seed to it, put it in the freezing compartment, and then hang it. Put it in one of those little suet cages.
Yeah.
People aren't going to ask you questions. And you know what? When people ask me questions that they really don't know the answer to,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of raise my eyebrows and ask them, do you really want to know? and they don't.
People generally don't want to know the truth about stuff. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of laugh, and they laugh, and we're done. But, you know, it helps that I'm too old to have to explain myself, too.
I hear that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Well, I have another question for you, Dorothy. I'd like to know, what are your thoughts on things found in Wicca like karma, things like the harm none law, and you know, you hear everyone talking about, well, I'll just leave it to the universe to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, to start with, I think leaving it to the universe is just a bad mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because the universe is a mindless vehicle. It's like a car. You get into the car because you're hungry and you need to go to the grocery store. Well, if you don't put the key in the ignition and turn the switch, step on the gas, and maneuver that car to the grocery store, you're going to sit there and starve.
Mm-hmm.
When you leave things up to the universe is going to take the path of least resistance. And I can assure you that is not in no way, shape, or form what you envisioned as your end result.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
So,
this is true.
And, you know, and that's like when you leave it up to the universe,
mm-hmm.
you're not owning your own stuff.
Right. To me, it just strikes me as kind of lazy.
Well, it is, and you've got somebody else to blame.
That's
if it doesn't
true.
Run out like you want. Okay, so, I kind of say that's letting the magic work you instead of you working the magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to be the witch, then, mm-hmm. you know, all witches do is move in direct energy. Then you need
mm-hmm.
to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I probably should point out, too, that, I'm no longer Wiccan. You know, Wicca is a religion, and so I have my own sense of spirituality. I'm just a plain old witch. But I was Wiccan long enough to answer your other questions, so I'm gonna.
Okay.
The karma thing. To start with, the harm none law and karma are two entirely different things. Karma really has no place whatsoever in the craft. It's an Eastern concept.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about bad karma,
mm-hmm.
the Easterners believe that the bad stuff that happens to you is the good karma. Because if you didn't have that, you wouldn't know joy when something good happened.
Oh,
okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, as far as karma goes, I really feel mm-hmm. like, you know, there's no deity up there that is handing out karma cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we give ourselves karma, all right? I think when we feel guilty about something, we give ourselves bad karma. When we feel good about something, we give ourselves good karma.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we are responsible for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the harm none law is an interesting thing because I think it has been misinterpreted over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not saying that anybody's right or anybody's wrong, but I'm going to throw this out for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
When you allow someone to harm you, you have already violated the law because you are part of the harm none.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Can you say that once more?
Sure.
Okay.
When you allow someone to harm you,
uh-huh.
you have already violated the law because you are part of the harm none.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That makes total sense to me.
And, you know, and there are lots of versions of the rite. And, you know, I always subscribe to the one that said, unless in self-defense it be.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is, you cannot live in this world without harming something.
Yeah.
Every time you take a breath, you destroy millions of bacteria.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't know. And if everything has life, you've just killed something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You have to kill something to eat, too.
Well, exactly. And, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, I'll just be a vegan or I'll be a vegetarian. But when you pluck that tomato from the vine, you just killed it, too.
Exactly. And plants have spirits. The diva,
yeah.
Plant divas. Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, I think it is a wonderful rule to aspire to achieve. Okay, it's a tall order, and I think that you know we can try there, but we're not going to succeed in never harming anything.
Yeah.
I think the best bet is to be the best possible person we can be every day.
Mhm. I agree. agree.
Yeah, with that harm none and the way you're explaining things, I think of, you know, I take your example of breathing in, you destroy lots of oxygen molecules, but you breathe out, what is it, the carbon monoxide or is
mm-hmm.
it dioxide? I get those confused. But anyway, you're breathing out whatever the trees and plants breathe in. So, you know, more so than a killing of that, you're just shifting the energy.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a lot of the harm done, people, they don't think it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that. I think that their teachers don't think it out either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you know my poor teachers, you know, had a hell of a time with me because to, you know, start with, I'm a Taurus, and you know, Taurus is kind of a funny sign because we think we're right, and you know, we insist that we're right unless you can show us in black and white that we're wrong, and so I drove them out of their minds, you know, posing these questions to, you know, to them. You know, what about this and what about this and what about this? And I'm sure that they were really, really glad when they were done with me. but you know, I think a lot of times I think that common sense is lacking in the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's lacking today. I think people have less and less of it.
Well, yeah, they seem to. And, you know, I don't know what the problem is exactly. I don't know if it's too much reliance on technology
mm-hmm.
or what it is, but nobody really seems to think things through to a logical conclusion anymore.
I think it is. I've really given this a lot of thought about why this is. And I think it's because people are not self-sufficient anymore, and so they don't need to think about they don't need to think about practical things. You know, it's all done for us. We go to the grocery store, we buy our food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're living on a farm where, as most people used to, you've got to grow all your own food, you've got to harvest it, you've got to prepare it, you've got to mend all the fences of the livestock, and, you know, you're busy the whole time.
Well, yeah.
And you have to use your common sense in order to do these things, you know?
Well,
because
exactly.
You don't have somebody there telling you how to do it.
You know, the most appalled I think I ever was about 20 years ago when I ordered a pizza and some kid pulled up with my pizza and had to use a calculator to figure my change.
Oh, my gosh.
I just couldn't wrap my head around that. And I went, oh, honey, you don't need that. You know, my change is blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, how do
you
know?
I
said,
honey, because,
yeah, it's like, how do you know? I said, because, you know, I learned that, you know, because I had tracked.
What did you think we did before there were calculators?
Well,
you know?
I don't know.
I never thought about it, you know.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, honey.
Well, it amazes me because, you know, I worked for Walmart for a few years, and I worked for Walmart before they had the scanners,
mm-hmm.
before they put the electronic cash registers in, and handled hundreds and hundreds of customers having to count change back to them.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into Walmart today and let something go wrong with their system, I've yet to find a cashier that can count change back.
You know, that's something that my daddy taught me at 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, you have to count it back to them to exactly what they gave you, and that way they know they've got the right amount of change.
Right.
And you know you didn't give them too much or too little.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I always thought it was something that parents taught kids, but apparently not anymore because they don't have to.
I guess not. Yeah, they just get a calculator.
So does this make you think that we're raising a whole generation of idiots?
Yes, it does.
It makes me wonder if something happened, how would they survive?
Well, yeah, that. And that's all I can say about that is that. I mean, if the grocery store shut down, you know, and people had to rely on their hunting skills,
mm-hmm.
their reasoning skills, their common sense, I'm sorry, there's very few out here that would be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and that's really sad.
Yeah.
You know, I was always taught, oh, you always have plan B and plan C.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because things seldom go according to plan.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's really common to have to change course in midstream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people don't know how to do that anymore.
Oh, no, they don't.
You know, instead they just spaz out and it's like, no, calm down. You know, let's look at this. We'll do this instead.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
know.
Yeah, I feel like a dinosaur sometimes, you know, because I find myself thinking so differently from probably anybody under about 30 or 35 or under.
Well, yeah.
You know, I feel like that too, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Well,
I don't think so either.
It's taken me, you know, I'm 58 years old. It's taken me all this time to learn what I have learned.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're the baby boomers.
Yeah, that's us.
And they said we wouldn't amount to anything either.
You know, while I'm here, I'm glad you brought this up. Let me get my soapbox out so I can stand on it.
Okay.
One of my pet peeves is that when, you know, I'm on the Internet all the time, I like to read about the news. And then I like to read the comments because I want to know how people are thinking about things. And trust me, there's been a major shift in the last 5 years. There have been people are more friendlier towards pot and also gay and LGBTG and,
mm-hmm.
and marriage.
Yeah.
And I've seen this shift, you know. But one of the things that gets to me is every once in a while, actually pretty often, there'll be some young person who wants to blame all the evils, the present evils of the world, on the baby boomer generation. And I think they've been told this by the media, the powers that be, because
mm-hmm.
we needed to be discredited. When you think about it, think of all the things that we accomplished. We got women's rights,
mm-hmm.
gay rights,
mm-hmm.
What's the other, that,
the Internet
rights for blacks. Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
Civil rights for blacks, that was huge.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
we,
in the South.
And we gave them technology.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We were the best educated generation and the smartest. You know, if you take our IQs and put them all together, we were the smartest generation in, I don't know, a long time anyway, maybe the whole history of America, I don't know. But we're also activists. And
mm-hmm.
when I lived in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, there was probably a protest every weekend. And if you went, most of the people there were still baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
you know, gray hair, and they got grandchildren in tow, but they're still there. We're still doing all of this. We're still out there, and we're still out there creating, and we're writing. I mean, one of the, what I think of as the best news sources on the Internet was created by, alternet.org, was created by a baby boomer. So that's the end of my rant.
Well, you know, I'm not sure why they blame us. And maybe I haven't had time to go on the Internet and read the news there to see those comments because I probably would have just gone spastic.
Mm-hmm. I do, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, I know the answer to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is coming from politics and the
mm-hmm.
people who want to do away with Social Security and Medicare. Because we baby boomers are becoming old farts that nobody wants to take care of when we hit age 70 and 75.
Except they don't need to, and this is what they don't understand. We were the first generation to completely pay for our Social Security before we retired. Okay? So you don't have to worry about my Social Security. We also paid for Medicare as we went along.
Well, actually, we do have to worry about it because they've given it to someone else now.
Yeah.
The stuff that we paid for. But, you know, you're right. We were the responsible generation.
Yeah.
And that, you know, this is not to say that there aren't young folks out there who are not responsible, because I know that there are plenty of them who are responsible. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we really, you know, that was something that was hammered into our heads. You know, you need to be responsible. You need to take, you need to own your stuff, so on and so forth. I just went through a big hoop-de-do. I just bought a new car, and I just went through a big hoop-de-do at the damn dealership. And, you know, and the first thing this guy tries to do is price this car at $2,000 over what the manufacturer's website prices it. Now, I used to work in a car dealership way back when, and I told him, I said, honey, part of my job was figuring out how much commission the salesman could make. So I know pretty much what your range is, and I don't mind feeding your family, but I'm not going to feed your family for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sharpen that pencil.
and a few other things, too.
But, yeah. You know, it was one thing and another and another and another.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter was, I didn't have to buy a car, and I probably should have walked out of there. But I didn't, and so this started on Sunday. I buy the car on Sunday. I pick it up on Monday. You know, there's stuff that's supposed to be with the car, on the car, not with it, on it, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing leads to another, and then I'm supposed to have floor mats, and I don't have floor mats. Now, mind you, I have black interior.
Mm-hmm.
I get this, and so they're supposed to order these black floor mats for me. I get a phone call telling me that the manufacturer doesn't make black mats to go with the black interior. They only make gray ones, pale gray ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down, and I write a chronological list of everything that went on from the second I stepped foot on that lot to date.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go see the general manager, because I asked the sales manager, I said, who is the boss of you? I want to see him right now. And so I present him with this list, and when I do, I say, I would like for you to read this, and you tell me whether or not you think this was a pleasant buying experience. And so he gets all the way down, and he looks at me really funny, and he's jumping through his ass apologizing, and I said, you know, my family knows the gentleman who owns this this dealership chain. And I wonder if Rick would be interested in this.
Oh,
oh my.
And so he blinks at me. Well,
oh, yeah.
So we wind up having a nice conversation. He apologizes and apologizes and so on and so forth. And so the thing that made me the maddest was I could get black floor mats, but they didn't come with the car, so I could pay the difference. I wasn't paying another damn dime.
No.
So he says, oh, I can assure you, Miss Morrison, I can assure you that you know, we will get these in, and you will not have to pay for them. I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a call today that they're in. And so I said, oh, you know, and they want to make arrangements. They're going to bring them to me. And it was like, no, I've got to be out and about. I'll stop by and get them. Oh, well, please let us, you know, please let me install these for you. I said, well, that's not necessary. They're floor mats. They don't have to be installed. They just have to be thrown in. I would like to do that for you. Please let me do that. I said, okay. I said, what time would be a good time to come in? The sales manager says to me, Miss Morrison, it's your world. I only live in it.
It's your world and we live in it?
Yeah, it's your world. I only live in it. Whenever it's convenient for you, you come in and I will do this.
Okay. Wow.
Yes, wow. And, you know, but it was like none of this should have gone on. A lot of it was,
yeah,
was, you know, assuming that because I've got gray hair, I'm stupid.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming that, oh, if you try to make your customer like you, your customer will like you. That means your customer will trust you. If your customer trusts you, they will believe you. Well, you know what? Not anymore.
Yeah.
Because now your customer is more savvy because your customer can go on the internet and research before they ever set foot on your property.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I bought a car 20 years ago. I was with my boyfriend. And, you know, he told me he was just going to hang in the background if I needed him to holler, but, you know, he knew I wanted to do this. This is mine, you know. And, yeah, the way that they treat women is just amazing. First we went to the Honda dealership, and we were treated like royalty. And it was a nice little car. We went for a test drive, but I still wanted to look around. I go down the road to the next one, and it was an absolute – they thought I was just an idiot, mostly because, you know, I'm blonde and a woman. And they wouldn't tell me how much they were that the car cost that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, look, don't waste my time. I want to know how much it is. Well, now, little lady, just, you know, don't get your feathers in a ruffle. Mm-hmm. I got up and I said, you know, I'm not going to buy a car here. You guys play games. You're wasting my time. I don't like it, and I'm out of here.
Good
so
for
the
you.
The next day, I get a phone call, and it's from these guys. And I said, I already bought a car. I went back and I bought the other Honda.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to keep me on the phone. I hung up. I said, don't call me again. 2 days later, I get another phone call. Have you bought a car? Have you thought about the car yet? You know, blah, blah. I said, look, I already told you I bought another car. And he says to me, I don't believe you. And I said to him, I don't care if you believe me or not. And then he interrupts me and he says, now don't get upset with me. And I said, look, you called me.
Yeah.
And then I hung up. And I think I threatened to call the police or something, you know, over harassing phone calls if he kept on calling. But it was just that bad. It was just
that
bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it may be, you know, if I ever buy another car again, it'll be a Honda.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, because they like to make customers for life. But anyway, I don't know. I feel like an old fogey talking about how things used to be. But it's interesting growing older, you know. It's real interesting growing older.
Well, I don't know. You know, I found that there are lots of perks to that.
Oh, yeah.
Because exactly. I can do all kinds of things now that I could never have gotten by with before.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, people who are older than I am are always going to think I'm impudent. And people who are younger than I am think I'm senile. So it doesn't matter. I can do or say what I please now, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing I like about that younger people thinking you're senile, because I deal with a lot of younger people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very intelligent, very wise. And I totally appreciate that. But then I have those who look at me like, you don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit back and go, okay, you came to me for advice. I've given it to you. Now you go on out and walk the path you're going to walk, and I'm going to sit back and watch you fuck everything up.
That's exactly
when
right.
You're ready,
yep.
You come on back and we'll talk some more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you will talk about how you're going to fix that mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Well, one question I want to ask you. Oh my heavens, we're almost at the end of the show here, but I do want to ask you before we close. Is being raised Catholic, how has this background played into your spiritual position today?
Well, you know, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school, and I survived that. But, you know, I had this fabulous rapport with the Virgin Mary. And, in fact, that caused another one of those ruckuses when I was in first grade because I announced that I wasn't going to pray to Jesus. I refused to do it, that it was a waste of time. I thought that nun, my first grade teacher, I thought she was going to have cardiac arrest right on the spot or maybe a cerebral hemorrhage. And so, of course, there's this note that gets sent home with me. And so
yeah.
I hand it to Mama, and she goes, oh, my God, Dorothy, that's horrible. You know, whatever possessed you to say such a thing? And I said, well, it is a waste of time. And so now she's begging and pleading with me, you know, oh, you know, this is horrible. Oh, you've got to pray to Jesus. And I said, well, you know, you need to tell me one. And so she goes on and on, and finally I said, oh, no. I said, I don't think you understand. And she says, well, no, you're right, I don't understand. You know, we raised you better than that. And I said, well, because even Jesus wouldn't disobey his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So I will just ask her to do what to tell him to do whatever I want done, and he'll do it. So we'll just cut him out. And so she kind of grinned, and she says, okay, but we won't say that to sister, okay?
For God's sakes, don't tell your father.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, when I came into the craft, because there was a goddess, I already had this great relationship with the Virgin Mary, so there wasn't much of a difference to me.
Exactly.
And besides that, you know, when you go into the Catholic Church, you walk in and you dip your head in holy water and you cross yourself, but that's like taking a ritual bath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To you know, to prepare you for the ritual, you know, of the mass.
Yeah.
And you've got all the elements presented there.
you know, you have the incense, you know, so you've got the, and the candle, so you've got the fire and the air, you have the holy water, you know, the church itself is your earth element,
mm-hmm.
or the body of Christ, you know, if you want to go that route, but you've got it all there. All that is a ceremonial, magical ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah.
Oh, highly. I mean, they took it from the pagans, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Well, yeah. And so, well, in fact, you know, what's interesting, when I was writing Everyday Sun Magic, I did a lot of research, and at that point my sister was in charge of religious education for the San Antonio Diocese. And so if I needed some kind of something looked up
mm-hmm.
that the Catholics had or,
mm-hmm.
or that the, you know, what was in Rome, you know, at the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
she could find it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I discovered when I was researching was that when a Catholic church building is consecrated, when the archbishop comes in to do that, the
mm-hmm.
very first thing he does is he takes his blessed water, wine, and oil, and he puts 13 sun symbols on each wall.
Wow.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. And the oldest, one of the most ancient sun symbols is a quartered circle, and the host is a quartered circle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I did not know that. That's really wild.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, they took some. They borrowed some of my magic too, I guess.
Well, of course. But you know, all paths lead to the center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, and so that really kind of cemented that for me after all those years. Yes, all paths really do lead to the center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's striving for the same thing. We, you know, we're all trying to get to the same place. We're just taking different avenues to get there, and that's cool. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You sound sort of like, that's sort of like my same story as what I've been through, although I wasn't Catholic. I was Pentecostal. Go figure. But
I love Pentecostals. I'm telling you, those folks, I went to the Pentecostal church for a while. They can raise more energy than I've ever seen in a circle.
Yes,
I love it.
Man.
Oh, boy, howdy. Yeah, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was teaching Sunday school to supposed to be the middle school children. I ended up with all of them in my class at one point. Everyone liked having fun. But it was actually through teaching them that I pretty much come full circle. See, I was raised pagan, but in an area where you didn't come out and say you were pagan.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my grandparents, I stayed with them most of the time. She was an Eastern Star and he was a Mason. And everything we did was magical. It was, you know, a cross between, I guess, what you'd call today's craft, or not Wicca, but green witchery,
mm-hmm.
I guess you would call it, and Native American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, heavy on both of those, but the more, you know, I got into paganism, the more I began to realize that, wow, you know, my life has just been magical all the way through, and I never realized it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think sometimes you do have to live for a while before you look back
mm-hmm.
and you actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can look back on my childhood, you know, with certain things that were done, you know, certain traditions that we had, that our family had. It's like Mama always, you know, a month before May Day, she ran around to all the drugstores that had little soda fountains,
mm-hmm.
and she got all of their small, empty, round ice cream cartons,
mm-hmm.
and she would make May baskets.
Oh, wow.
With and they were gorgeous. And they were, she would cut scalloped crepe paper, and she would twist it so that they had ruffles all over them and these beautiful handles. And
yeah.
We would deliver my baskets. I didn't know it was pagan.
Beautiful. Well, that's our music. That's our sign to close off tonight. And, Dorothy, I want to thank you very much for being with you. It was just delightful.
Honey, and
yeah,
I'm so sorry. Please have me on again, and I promise I'll be on time.
Oh, we will.
Promise you'll be good. Yes, we'll have you back. Of course we will.
Thank you so much.
That's our show for tonight, folks. Join us next week when our guest is Christopher Blackwell, who is the publisher and editor of Action, which is the magazine of the Alternative Religions Educational Network, and they are an international group that tries to educate people about paganism and apparently other religions. And he is a fundamentalist Shinto, so that's what we're going to talk about next week. And that's our show for tonight. And good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, good night, Tom and Aubrey, wherever you are.